the extent of this problem has become such that, you know, we don't have time to wait to make this thing more difficult. We all need to make sustainability in the built environment as easy as possible. So, you know, we put out guides on which products to use and where do you find them and what practices do you need to employ. So things that I used to do as a consultant, now it's just, we're trying to provide that content out there to anybody who needs it, because we're just at that point where it's got to get out there quicker.
Homestyle Green, episode 206, how to save time and money on green building certification. G'day and welcome back to another episode of Homestyle Green. This is the podcast dedicated to inspiring people to make a better place to live. Green building projects face multiple challenges, from sourcing appropriate products, documenting and verifying everything, through to minimizing, sorting and recording construction waste. Organizing all this information and compiling in a form that's useful for the certifying agency can be a big and expensive challenge. Green Badger is a cloud-based software platform that helps builders and contractors to streamline and automate the green building compliance process. Founder and CEO Timmy Lindstroth chatted to me recently about why he set up Green Badger in the first place and how they're helping to achieve that goal of making sustainability in the built environment easy for everyone. So thank you, Tommy, for taking the time and joining us for the Homestyle Green podcast. Really appreciate that. Want to start out maybe just with an introduction to yourself and to Green Badger. What is the problem that Green Badger tries to solve?
Sure, and appreciate being here again. I'm Tommy Lindstroth, founder of Green Badger. We are a cloud-based software platform that helps builders and contractors streamline and automate green construction compliance. So as you can imagine, whenever you're on a project that's got is going for a green certification, there's a whole bunch of challenges you'll run into, from finding the right products to documenting their use to, you know, recycling all your waste, and then finally being able to take all those good efforts you've put into a project over months or years of construction and then be able to provide them in the documentation to the certifying agency in the appropriate fashion so that you can end up finally hanging those plaques on your walls. And so we provide a platform to try and streamline and automate as much of that as possible, so that builders and contractors can worry about getting their building built on time and on budget, not chase paperwork.
So you came into this as a lead certifier, and you're a lead fellow now with more than 80 projects that you've personally certified. Is that how you came across this need for something like a cloud-based solution?
It is. I was working as a lead consultant, and so I was slogging through this four project teams, and it's just, you know, month after month for years for some of these projects, and trying to find products, trying to track them all in these massive spreadsheets by hand. You know, you end up with six or eight spreadsheets per project, and you're trying to, you know, use them to update people and as collaboration, and it just was not working. And so I looked around to see what other options there were, and, you know, none of my peers were using anything different. Everyone was doing it the same way. And so I set out to just build a better solution. Originally, it was just for my consulting business. But once I got into the weeds of it, it was like, okay, well, we can work on, you know, 10, 20 projects as a consultant, or we can work on hundreds or thousands of projects with a software platform. And so shifted gears from consulting and launched Green Badger to serve as that pathway.
And do you still get to do any consulting?
We still provide a lot of guidance to our Green Badger users, but it's more as a helpful tool beyond just software to do it. So I don't do too much consulting these days, unless there's a really fun, exciting project I see or a local project I just want to get my hands at. Really, it's focused on the software side of things, but we do put out a good bit of information, you know, sort of from a consulting side of things. But rather than charging for it, we're just making free content. So we think the extent of this problem has become such that, you know, we don't have time to wait to make this thing more difficult. We all need to make sustainability in the built environment as easy as possible. So, you know, we put out guides on which products to use and where do you find them and what practices do you need to employ. So things that I used to do as a consultant, now it's just we're trying to provide that content out there to anybody who needs it, because we're just at that point where it's got to get out there quicker.
Yeah, because looking at your past, I mean, you've been involved in sustainability for a long time. So that seems to be at the core of what you're trying to do is making sustainability more accessible for everyone. Is that sort of the ethos of Green Badger?
It is. It's been, you know, ever since I started in real estate development, I was the director of sustainability for a developer, and we did some of the first LEED certified projects in the Southeast. And then our ethos is always, hey, it can't be just us. It's got to be everybody. And that's how it grew into consulting, of saying, I want to help more projects than just the ones my company is doing because of this underlying sense of urgency, this underlying, you know, tree hugger environmentalist that I am inside. And that, that continues into the software company. I mean, besides our software, you know, we're carbon neutral. We plant thousands of trees per year. We purchase, you know, we have renewable energy offsets for our electricity. We're trying to really embody all of those same strategies that we encourage other people to incorporate as well into their operations.
So regarding the tool and the process, I imagine there are other systems out there now that have either copied what you do or offer something similar. There are other web-based solutions for managing projects?
There's a couple, not too many that focus acting as a workflow specific to the contractor. So there's a lot of tools out there and on the architectural and the design side, tools to help you find the right products on the front end. But, you know, once you design the building and have a set of construction plans, it's done. And then it goes into this, you know, ongoing years long process to build it. So fortunately for us, there hasn't been too much on the workflow side of things. It's pretty much if you're not using us, you're still tracking it in a huge pile of Excel documents, you're manually recording pictures and waste tickets, and you're just spending hundreds of hours trying to keep up with it versus employing, you know, a solution such as ours.
Yeah, which is no small thing. I mean, I know that our version of LEED is Green Star, and it's a similar process. And typically on large commercial jobs, there might be one consultant who is basically working on it on this full time, just on the compliance and checking all that stuff. And that's their job. I don't know if they get the graduate in to do that or someone, but it's a massive administrative task, which I know that it can take away from the actual purpose of the certification, which is to enhance the sustainability, but people can get bogged down pretty easily in just paperwork.
Exactly. And even the cost, obviously, if you're going for a third party certification, there's a lot of value in that. You know, I've been on a lot of projects where they say, hey, we're not going to actually get certified. And we start to see some of the green attributes get cut out pretty quick. So there's definitely value to the third-party certification. Our goal is just to make that as simple as possible, because could you pay somebody $50,000 to be your consultant and do it all for you? Yeah, you could. But could you pay, you know, a tenth of that price and have software help automate it, and you can put the rest of that money into solar panels or into things that are actually making the building greener besides verifying paperwork and documentation?
Yeah. So just run us through what the process looks like if someone's wanting to use Green Badger on a project. Is it the consultant that signs up, or how does it work?
Typically, we're used by the general contractor. They make up about 85% of our users. The other 15% is our consulting groups. But typically, you know, these are inspections that are going on site. So it's got to be teams that are firmly planted in the construction process. So once we find a team, or if team finds us and they have a LEED requirement, you know, we it's pretty straightforward. Our software is extremely user-friendly. We do a 30 to 45 minute onboarding session via WebEx, so it doesn't matter where they are in the country or in the world. Mm-hmm. We help them understand both the software side as well as the LEED side. Again, back to a lot of, lead is not most of these people's full-time job. So it's a new concept. Our software won't work if they don't understand the basics of lead. So we include a lead training as well as the software training, and then they're up and running. The software automates a lot of it. So they don't need to know certain attributes. They can just type in insulation, pick the one they're using, and it'll pre-populate all of the sustainability stuff that they need. The mobile app lets them walk around the site and just click pictures. It prompts them where they need them, and then they can just type in a little comment and hit save, and it'll give them a PDF inspection report. So the onboarding process and the getting up and running is pretty quick and easy. We've got a great customer service team that helps projects along if they've got a lead question or run into any technical issues. And hopefully we don't hear back from them until they say, hey, we've got our certification and we're on to our next project.
Yeah, nice. And do the subcontractors, do other people interact with the software, or is it just the main contractor who's checking things off?
Typically, it's just the main contractor and then just other project team members like the architect or the sometimes the owner or the owner's rep is on there just so they can monitor progress and ensure everybody's hitting their goals. We do have a future platform that's coming that's going to give subcontractors a lot more opportunities to get involved and actually track and help verify throughout the process, as well as help compile all the information that they would typically be providing. So yeah, that's coming later on this year.
And you mentioned there about product selection, some of the other tools that are out there. Is that a challenge for main contractors, or are they pretty much fixed in with what's been specified?
What we've seen is that the specifications tend to be general. Lead changes every couple of years. And so they'll just say, where applicable, use a product that has a health product declaration. But it's not necessarily these 20 products have them, use these and you're good. So
yeah,
some architects are better than others in terms of helping to roadmap that. And in that case, it can be pretty straightforward. But we see a lot of them where there's just not any specificity, and it's the contractor is really left floundering to figure it out. And by the time the submittal shows up at your desk, if it doesn't have it or it isn't compliant, now you're facing scheduling issues and all sorts of things. So the software helps so they can identify some of those in advance. And again, some of the guidance we put out is really, really meant to help that. It's all right, well, here's where you can focus. Here's where a lot of opportunities are. If your architect didn't do a super detailed job of specifying what to use, here's where we'd recommend you start.
Because am I correct in saying you've got a project database, product database built into the software?
Yeah, we do. We've got thousands of products in there. So again, if you know the product you're using, you can just type in the brand and pick it out. If you don't, you can just type in a category like insulation or paint, and then it'll pull up everything we have. They're all weighted, so the more lead attributes, the more sustainability attributes a product helps you with, the higher it comes in your search results, and then you can perhaps pick and choose. So if you were to say, well, should I use brand A or brand B? Well, brand A helps me more. Let's go with brand A.
I imagine that must be a huge time saver, because it's a minefield out there for people. If architects do just leave that so generic to say, select what, something that's compliant, that puts a big burden on that main contractor to go out and source that and check everything off. So if they can just search through a list of compliant products, that must be a big bonus for them.
It's huge. And even if things were sent to them for them to try, they don't have a PhD in chemistry, so to go through and look at chemical concentrations down to 100 parts per billion and trying to figure out, well, all right, here's a 30-page environmental summary. Where in here, just because it has it doesn't mean it's compliant. How am I supposed to determine where in this 30 pages it is? So our system has already done that. So it allows them, again, really to focus on what their expertise is, which is building construction, not on sourcing and having to verify products.
What's the current status of LEED and certification, the sustainability certifications across the U.S.?
It's strong. I mean, there's a huge public and private sector adoption of LEED, as well as other rating systems. There's new rating systems that focus on health and well-being. Those are seeing a lot of growth and popularity since they were released 2 or 3 years back. But LEED is still the gold standard. It's required on almost all federally funded projects. over half of the states require LEED. You got over 1,000 municipalities and universities require it. So you've got all these public sector organizations that have, you know, huge endowments and continue to build. And then you've also got the private sector side. 85% of Fortune 100 companies require it on their facilities. And it's just, you see a lot of it. And if you look at the trend, it's growing. It used to be 20% of the market, then it was 30% of the market. And now it's close to 40% of the total construction market has some sort of green requirement built into it.
Are you looking at providing a platform for some of those other rating systems, or are you exclusively for LEED?
We will be expanding it to others. So we've got one other regional one that's in there now, and we'll be expanding both domestic rating systems as well as into the international rating system. So we might have one down in your neck of the woods sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's fundamentally all the same process, and you know, a lot of the credits and the structure of the ratings is very, very similar. It's just the localization is probably more to do with the specific credits and then the products that are available.
Definitely, and when we'd come out, it would start more as a workflow. We wouldn't be able to come out with 10,000 products that were applicable to you, but part of our system is that we use our users to help crowdsource it. So yeah, we're never going to have every product that's out there, but we'll have we know what products are getting used on green projects, because if we don't have it in our database, our users put it in, we're able to review it and then approve it and release it in the general database. So we're constantly able to expand it, not just by chasing manufacturers and getting the next newest and shiny, but by getting pragmatically products that are being used on green construction projects across the country and hopefully soon around the world.
Yeah. We have a conversation here about greenwashing with some green or some sustainability certifications. And it's to do with things like composting, bike racks, some of the, even solar panels putting on the roof as sort of being seen as green bling. That allow architects, designers, developers to add a few extras around the edges and ignore some of the fundamentals of a really good building envelope that is well insulated, airtight, and provides really good indoor air quality in a scientific way. Has that been risen as an issue, that sort of greenwashing concern over rating tools in the States?
It's come up. I mean, every system's going to have its critics, and you know, you could poke holes in literally anything. I'd still stand by any certification is going to be better than a code-built building because it's got to be better. So if your alternative is you're just building to code, well, yes, then any certification, regardless of what you do, is going to be a better building than the alternative. I firmly believe that. Again, even the ones, as I mentioned, they say they're going to build to a green standard but not get certified. As soon as they do that, the oversight goes out and some of those things. You know, would I rather have a building with solar panels than no solar panels? Yeah. You know, did it come as a trade-off of perhaps, you know, better design? That's where it gets fuzzy, I would say. But, you know, the upside of these systems, LEED is an example, right? Yeah, you might get an easy point by getting some bike racks out there, but it's forcing you to cut your water by 30%. It's forcing you to raise, because it's not just, you know, the bike racks in and of themselves aren't doing anything. You still have to take a comprehensive approach to certification to address your air quality, your materials, your water. Yeah. One example I use is, you know, I work with an engineering group, and I looked at their plans, and it was a non-LEED building, and they just didn't put in low flow fixtures. I was like, how are you using the low flow fixtures, not just your standard basis of design? It's like, oh, well, it's just code if it's not a LEED project. And it's something as simple as using a water saving flushing device that cuts your water by 30%. Like, why would you not just use that? So I think you know, sometimes the mentality just isn't there unless you see that certification, which is unfortunate. But it's, you know, it's an evolution of the thought process and design.
Yeah, and the critical thing there for all of those, as you mentioned, is the process of certification. I think a lot of people, developers in particular, balk at the cost of the certification process, let alone the additional materials and products that they have to buy. But that's something I know that there some people are hesitant to make that investment of just the certification process. But like you say, as soon as you drop that, it's an invitation to just start cutting corners on everything.
Exactly. And again, you can't have anything great without a cost associated with it, right? I mean, you can't get a permit without paying a permit fee. You can't build your building without paying an architect. I mean, it's just, if that's just something you value in your building, you pay for it. Nothing's free, right? I guarantee you could take any building at any budget and get a certification in it. It's just simply a matter of trade-offs, right? Like, okay, well, maybe I will be 5%. I won't use as much of this beautiful glass windows, and I'll have a smaller windows, and I just saved $150,000. What trade-off? What is the benefit that you need to trade off for? If you have a green requirement as a developer to be able to get an extra level of density or something like that, well, yeah, then you need to. It doesn't come free. You've got to figure out those trade-offs.
In your opinion, how well equipped do you think LEED is to keep pushing the building industry, in particular with regards to lower emissions, lower carbon buildings, higher energy efficiency? Is it pushing the thresholds and updating, making things more stringent quick enough?
Well, quick enough will be the challenge, but there's always still adoption. I mean, what I see is Living Building Challenge came out, and they had a requirement that your building had to be net carbon neutral. And so I think when that came out, that sort of raised the bar for LEED, who was always seen as, the bar setter themselves. So they've come out. Now there's a LEED for net zero or LEED positive, and they're focusing it. So I think it is, it has become a much more prevalent point for them in newer versions of LEED. LEED iterates every 2 to 3 years. So you see it in there. And why I think that's so important as a driver is because, as I mentioned, all of these industries, a lot of agencies have already just put LEED as their benchmark. So if a city has said everything has to be LEED certified, they don't care how stringent the requirements are. It's already built in there. Are they going to go back and revoke city code or state law that they passed? No. So as LEED continues to get more stringent, it's got a built-in audience that's coming along with it. Whereas if you came out with a new standard that just said, hey, I'm, Green Badger standard for carbon neutrality, and that scared people off, they might never come and get in. Whereas LEED is already ingrained. And as they become more stringent and as they ramp up every couple of years, it's dragging that huge population with it. Now, the question of, is it quick enough? We hope it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there one common big challenge for main contractors? What's the thing that they struggle with the most if they're doing a LEED project?
Really, the contractors struggle the most with the product verification and the product tracking. Again, it's especially with the new changes to LEED. It started out and LEED set a high bar on products for their new version, and a lot of manufacturers hadn't caught up. And there just wasn't a ton of options to choose from. And as I mentioned earlier, the specifications weren't necessarily supporting it. And in fact, sometimes you had specifications that actively went against it because they said, we're going to use this paint. Well, that paint doesn't qualify. And now, you're going to blame me for not earning this particular credit. So I think the evolution in the materials continues to be the biggest challenges that contractors have. Because it's just a game of, it's a game of tracking over months or years. And you're fighting to make sure that something doesn't slip through the cracks. That's going to come back and haunt you 12 months down the road.
So the problem there is them knowing where things are coming from, what's in them, what labels and ratings those individual products have. Is that the challenge?
Yeah, that's the challenge, because there's just so many different products you're using on a construction site. And it's, again, not everybody's a material scientist. So for everybody on the project, coming from the subcontractor on up, to be able to understand those requirements, those changes, especially as they evolve, and to ensure that nothing slips through the cracks. It's tough. And that's why people pay so much money for consultants to help them out.
Yeah.
And that's, again, where the software, we're trying to make it affordable to take down that barrier of green. So you don't have developers saying this costs too much, or let's make it as easy as we can and as implementable as we can so that we can ratchet up the number of buildings that are green.
Are there further opportunities for technology and emerging technologies to help with some of those challenges for the contractor?
Well, I hope we're providing a lot of them, and we're going to continue to evolve and try and make that process as seamless as possible, as well as be able to be more proactive. So instead of responding to a request of products to use, we can offer up suggestions based on product type, based on things of that nature. So again, I think that can help propel that out there. I think some of it also will just be the continued evolution of the materials industry.
Yeah.
Ultimately, this all comes down to cost. If you have drywall A and drywall B, and drywall A, you know, has a lead attribute and drywall B doesn't, what premium is the owner willing to pay to have drywall A in there? But when you have drywall A, B, C, and D, and now you have more options out there, it becomes more cost competitive, and then hopefully that's not such a big deal.
Yeah. I'm wondering about blockchain, because I've heard of that being used to trace all sorts of products back to source. Is that something that you can see being used more in the building industry?
It's funny because we have this, my software team and I have discussions around blockchain frequently, and being able to use that to help validate attributes. And, you know, we think there's opportunity there. I think one of the, you know, one of my personal challenges that I always have to come back to my team with is the construction industry is slow to adopt technology as is. And now if you start talking blockchain and things like this, you know, the industry, we might be ready for it before the industry is. So it might be a little chicken and egg thing of that, but I do see their potential for implementation, specifically on product attribute and accountability side of things, in the not too distant future.
You've mentioned pricing a couple of times. I should probably ask you about that, because I imagine it's something that people want to know. What are the costs versus the savings that you usually tell people?
Sure. Well, the savings, let's start with the savings, because as you mentioned, the cost of the alternative is a full-time person sitting here doing this. So take what they charge. Per your experience, we are priced, our software, our base software is $200 per month for each project. So it's pretty straightforward. Take however many months your project is. You know, typically it's a 12-month project, 24-month project. We're talking a couple $1,000 for access to this software that can eliminate the need to have a full-time person sitting there trying to slog through this stuff. So it's cheaper than a job site, a lunch for the entire job site once a month. And the payback is, you know, 10 or 20 times, because it literally cuts hundreds and hundreds of hours of labor that you're paying for or that are not applied to something else. The biggest thing we can do is free these people up so that they can use their time on more valuable insights to getting the building built on time and on budget versus slogging through paperwork.
Yeah, I mean, that seems very reasonable options there. And where are people using it? It's more than just the US, right?
US and Canada. We actually had a call with a team in Ireland today. So, you know, LEED is in 140 countries. So there's applicability literally around the world. We do have international rating systems on our radar. So we're going to be expanding functionality so that we do have some more localized systems in there. So again, right now it is predominantly North America, but we're looking to branch out of that pretty rapidly.
Awesome. Where's the best place to go to get more info if people want to have a look?
The best place is our website, which is getgreenbadger.com. And they can also find us on the usual social media at getgreenbadger, at Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the other good ones.
And you got a bunch of pretty handy videos there, so people can get a look at it and a handle on stuff in pretty quick, easy way to consume it.
Definitely. Quick videos or, again, just resources. Even if you're just interested in green construction, you can download our ebooks, you can watch our webinars. It's all free. Ton of blog content out there. Everything is just really, again, helping to try and drive this industry forward as quickly and as efficiently as we can.
Yeah. Awesome. Hey, well, thank you very much for your time and all the work that you're doing, Tommy. I really appreciate it. And do keep in touch if you have any updates on the branching out to other tools and other regions around the world.
I will do so. Thanks for the opportunity. It was a pleasure to speak with you today.
Tommy Lindstroth there, the founder and CEO of Green Badger. And as Tommy mentioned, Green Badger is primarily used for LEED certification in the US. I do look forward to platforms such as Green Badger expanding to be useful in other parts of the world for, in our case, Green Star, which is our LEED equivalent, and perhaps also for other certification processes such as Living Building Challenge, maybe even Homestar, things like that. I know there's been a bit of a discussion, as I mentioned during the interview, that some people are questioning the usefulness of green certifications compared with other, maybe more scientific, rigorous certifications that are focused on just the building envelope, such as Passive House. I do quite like Tommy's comments there that a certified project is pretty much always going to be better than just a code compliant one. So I still think that there is a place for a holistic environmental performance assessment of buildings. And tools like Green Badger can only make that system and that process easier and better and more accessible to everyone. Love to know your thoughts. You can email me, matthew@homestylegreen.com. Thanks for tuning in. Now go make a better place to live.